From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 9th day of October 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll take up the agricultural energy markets with Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. Along the way today, we'll hear about Jacob Dickey of Gibson City. He's at the White House today and being honored there. And we'll check up on what to do about that volunteer corn in those fields you might want to sow to wheat this fall. Aaron Hager will give us all the details as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In Chicago on a Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat finished December at $8.64.5, up 3.5 on the close. The July futures there at $8.42.75 were 2 cents higher. The hard red July at $8.70.25 in Kansas City. Settlement price for the day up a penny and a half. December corn up a half cent on its close at $7.42.5 back in Chicago. March at $7.41.75, a penny and a quarter lower. The May futures were up a quarter at $7.36.5. That March, by the way, not down a penny and a quarter, down just a quarter of a cent. July futures $7.32, up 2 cents for the day. September at $6.56.5 in the corn pit, up 2.25. And December futures $6.27.75. These are all closes, of course, up 3 cents for the afternoon. March of next year at $6.35.75, that being the 2014 March contract, up 3.5 cents. November beans $15.52, a penny higher for the day. January at $15.49, up one. The March at $15.03.5, a penny and a half higher. And May soybeans $14.51, up 1.5. July at $14.38, up 2.25. Next year's November beans at $13.35.5, 7.75 higher. Bean meal futures finished at $4.78.10, down 40. Bean oil in the lead at $51.46, 98 cents lower. Live cattle futures finished the December at $126.72.5, a settlement, up 32.5. No feeders at $146.70, 40 higher. In December lean hogs, $76.80, 7.5 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading the November at $92.28 a barrel. That's $2.95 higher on the afternoon. November gasoline on the RBOB wholesale price, that is, $2.96 even. That's 6 7/10 higher. Ethanol at $2.41 2/10, a penny and 6 tenths higher. And the spread between the two is 54 8/10 cents. That's 5 cents wider than yesterday and good for blending ethanol into the gasoline supply. Natural gas at $3.47 2/10. That's up 6 9/10. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.20 3/10 cents. A nickel at 8 tenths higher. Gold futures at $1,763.80 an ounce, down $10.70. And the U.S. dollar at 79.95. That's 0.41 higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high of a beautiful 66 degrees. It'll be breezy with a southwest wind at about 21 miles an hour. That wind will gust all the way to 29 miles an hour this afternoon. A 50% chance of showers this evening. Cloudy, gradually becoming partly cloudy. A low of around 37. South winds at 11 to 15. And then tomorrow, sunny skies again. A high of just 53. A west to northwest wind at 10 to 17. Tomorrow evening, patchy frost. That after 1 o'clock in the morning. Otherwise, mostly clear. A low of 35. Light and variable winds tomorrow evening. Thursday, sunny skies and 63. Cloudy on Thursday evening and 44. And Friday, mostly sunny skies and 61. Friday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy and 48 degrees. And Saturday, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a little warmer, high of 73. Showers and thunderstorms continue into the evening, mostly cloudy overnight and 59. And Sunday, mostly sunny skies and a high near 72.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It is the 9th day of October. On the phone line with us, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace in Chicago for the day.
Well, you know, we come in after the overnight. The Chinese had really pumped up their economy, put about $40 billion into it, raised the attitude out there. It looked like it was going to be a risk-on day. And as the day went on and the combines rolled, we saw the market just sort of drift on back, and basically we saw red numbers here in the last few minutes of the day, thinking we could maybe have a little turnaround Tuesday, but basically it's just sort of a steady Tuesday. The word in Chicago is the bulls, the people who want to be bullish don't want to be long, and the people who want to be bearish don't want to be short, because everybody's scared of what the government might do.
What do you think they'll do Thursday morning, by the way?
Boy, you know, that's the big thing. We've got one of the widest ideas of crop production in the corn this year that I've ever seen for this. Some people are just under the 10 billion production number, and some are just over the 11. Over a billion bushels separating that. And that is one huge number that could really cause a reaction to this report if it goes to either edge of that.
Yeah, that sounds like that's a number that could move corn a couple dollars, I would think, in either direction if we were down on one end or the other.
Yes.
That's a long, long ways. What do you see in the bean market for the afternoon?
Well, basically, like I said, we started off, we had nice gains here today. It looked like we were going to have a little breakout to the upside. That sort of went away. Here we are, just down a couple cents on the day. I think we're just staying around this 1550 mark, just trying to go into the report and see what the government does say. A lot of talk and speculation about the increased chance of rain for later in the week in parts of South America. Lots of talk about the greatly added acreage. What they're going to plant in beans down there. CONAB come with their numbers today. They were big numbers. But, it's too dry in a lot of areas down there. It's too wet in the other areas. Long time to get it planted. But we were wishing to have this in the ground or a lot more of it in the ground by now to supplement what will be short stocks out of the U.S. sooner in the spring. But it looks like it's going to be a while.
Yeah, usually they say the cure for high prices is high prices because it stimulates planting. We have to worry about planting in South America as opposed to here in the United States in that case. Do you think we'll turn lower quicker this year than we have in previous years?
Well, I think, number one, we thought we had a tremendously large bean crop out of South America this last spring as we were coming into it, and every time that we thought that, why the weather got a little drier down there and their harvest got a little smaller and raised our prices higher than we thought. So just getting it planted doesn't give us a big crop. We were looking that way here in the U.S. too. But I think if they can get it in, the weather's ideal, our opportunity for higher prices will be a shorter window come first of the year.
Generally, I do not ask directly about market positions, but I know many of our producers and many of our analysts will have had producers protect their crop insurance and the harvest prices back in June and July. We talked about that a lot on the air. This is the time of year now, this month of October, when those prices are being finalized. Are there suggestions you have for what producers ought to be doing with the positions that they took?
Well, I think basically along the way, if they shorted the futures market or if they bought puts, depending on what size their position is, they need to orderly be taking it off as the price is being set, Todd, because that's what it was a direct hedge. And having been in the cash grain business for years, when we price something, we take the hedge off. And along that way, if you have 20 positions, you should be taking one off a day through the trading days as we go through the month of October. If you have four put positions, we take one off at the end of every week.
Right. Anything they need to do to protect themselves at all before
going into this report?
Yeah, we go into the report.
I think that depending on, if they're an end user, some of the weekly options are not going to be a bad thing. Say the 740 or 750 calls for under 15 cents, something like that on the corn. Depending on that way, we can get into some of the 1540s or so in the soybeans. And if you have a large position on or have a large cash position in your bin, those are things that you might want to consider spending a little bit of money on, because, as we said, This can be one of the wildest October reports we've seen in years.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Doc.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Well, you know, if you listen to our Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, that the end of the half hour meteorologist is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don won't be here today. He may not be here next week, and there's a good reason why. Don is also the meteorologist for the Red Bull Stratus space jump. You want to learn more about that, you can always go to the Red Bull website, or you can go to ours at willag.org. I've posted a little video that the Red Bull folks have produced about Don Day up there on our website. You might have to have it bookmarked. If you don't, you could come to willag.org and be at the front page for WILL, but just look for agriculture, and soon enough, you'll find Don Day and willag.org. Now, here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the International Monetary Fund is forecasting that the world economy will expand 3.3% this year, down from the estimate of 3.5% growth it issued in July. Its forecast for growth in 2013 is 3.6%, down from 3.9% 3 months ago and 4.1% in April. The IMF forecasts that growth in world trade volume will slump to 3.2% this year from 5.8% last year and 12.6% in 2010. The IMF raised the U.S. growth forecast slightly to 2.2% this year from 2% in July. For 2013, it expects U.S. growth of 2.1%, down from 2.3%. China's central bank today pumped a massive load of cash into the country's banking system for a second time in 2 weeks, signaling to some investors a stronger resolve by the government to stimulate the ailing economy. The liquidity injection, the second biggest of its kind ever, is aimed at lowering domestic borrowing costs for companies grappling with the country's slowest growth since the financial crisis. California voters may be getting ready to give their overwhelming support for a ballot initiative that would require genetically engineered foods sold in the state to be labeled as such. A recent Los Angeles Times poll found that voters, by a 61-25% margin, said they support California's Proposition 37, which would require the labeling. The measure would have far-reaching implications for the food industry and agricultural biotechnology. Brazil government crop agency CONAB today released its new crop production estimates. Brazil's 2012-13 soybean production should increase by 21-25% from the previous crop to between 80.1 million and 82.8 million metric tons. Brazil's 2011-12 soybean crop shrank about 12% from the previous year due to a severe drought in southern states. CONAB says it sees Brazil's 2012-13 soybean yields recovering to 3,030 kilograms per hectare. That's about 14% better than last year. Brazilian farmers should sow between 26.4 million and 27.3 million hectares with soybeans, an expansion of 5.5% to 9.1%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. One other news item for the day. This morning, the White House recognized 12 members of FFA and 4-H as champions of change. For over 100 years, youth and adults involved in 4-H have worked together to create sustainable change in their communities. And since 1928, FFA members have lived by the motto, learning to do, doing to learn, earning to live, living to serve. Now, the individuals honored today at the White House carry on the tradition of service to communities and country that 4-H and FFA represent. These individuals, including a young man I'm proud to say has been to my home many times, Jacob Dickey from Gibson City, have devoted their time and effort to their communities across the country. Jacob, who is now a student of agricultural education here on this campus at the University of Illinois, brought together a number of prominent business and civic organizations, including the Special Olympics and the United Nations World Food Program, to develop a year-long campaign that encouraged young students and future leaders to live to serve. The Champions of Change program was created to honor ordinary Americans doing great work in their communities. Congratulations to Jacob Dickey on his accomplishments and White House honors. Listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. You know, the September and October rainfall in parts of the Midwest have dense patches of volunteer corn up and growing, and generally that would be a good thing as it would winter kill off, but as you'll hear, those wanting to sow wheat may need to control the corn. The cold front slipping an icy finger into the Midwest this week may do the job of frosting off volunteer corn in fields yet to be sown to wheat this fall. If it doesn't, then before those fields are sown, Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager says farmers might be advised to do something about the volunteer corn. Hager writes in this week's Illinois Crops Bulletin that doing a little tillage is option number one.
If tillage could effectively control the emerged corn, certainly that's an option that farmers could consider. Others have asked about trying to control the volunteer corn chemically. And so in the article that we published in the bulletin, we went through a few choice options that farmers could consider for effective control of volunteer corn. One, of course, would be glyphosate. It would be very effective at controlling corn. However, it would not be effective if the volunteer corn came from a corn field that was grown to a glyphosate-resistant hybrid in 2012. If that's the case, then the farmers would have to look at alternative herbicides. One that could potentially be used would be gramoxone.
Hager says while gramoxone many times fails to control a first stand of corn a farmer might want to replant, it generally works well on volunteer corn at this time of year.
Now, of course, we'd have to also bring into consideration we wouldn't be able to tank mix gramoxone with things, obviously not with atrazine, and not with metribuzin either, simply because metribuzin is not labeled for a pre-plant application before wheat. So it would need to be gramoxone by itself.
There are other products farmers might consider to control volunteer corn too, says Hager.
Things like the post-grass herbicides, Post or Post Plus, Fusion, Fusilade, Select, Assure 2. These products are very effective on controlling volunteer corn, but each of those materials has a rotational interval, or a specified number of days that must elapse between when the application is made and when a rotational crop such as winter wheat can be sown in these fields. And quite simply, the rotational interval for those products is way too long to allow them to be used before we plant wheat. There is one exception to that, a product called Targa. The label of Targa does allow the application, a pre-plant application before wheat to be made, with essentially no waiting interval between the application and planting.
One other note from Aaron Hager. If you plan to sow wheat in fields where one or more herbicides previously was applied in 2012, be sure to check the label of each herbicide applied for information on rotational intervals. He says most rotational intervals are based solely on time, but rotational intervals for some herbicides can be lengthened based on other factors, things like soil pH and droughty conditions. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Strategic Farm Marketing, Champaign; KC Summers, Mattoon; and Jarman Center, Tuscola. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
Time to check the agricultural energy markets on a Tuesday, and Stephen Platt joins us once a month to do that. He's at Archer Financial Services. That's in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Steve. Thanks for taking the time with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been an interesting several set of weeks in the crude oil market, and things are really kind of happening this week that are unique and different. Some problems in California.
It's been really a Jekyll and Hyde market in a lot of respects. The crude market has come upon some pretty hard times in terms of breaking down from that $100 area down toward 88. And today we are seeing some strength come back into the market on some of the Mideast tension. The product markets have been just resilient, to say the least, in terms of maintaining their margins against crude and actually expanding them. Certainly, refinery issues have been a big factor behind the California strength, but also it's been a factor that we've been dealing with, really, over the past year, and not only on the West Coast, but East Coast as well. We haven't really built any new refineries since probably the early 80s, and subsequently, I think we're starting to see the lack of investment in that area actually support the product markets, such as diesel and also gasoline. And I think that probably is something that's going to continue to be a fact of life in terms of the market overall.
When we talk about those facilities, those refineries, as those of us in agriculture watch the ethanol plants go up, know full well that the boilerplate lifetime expectancy is about 20 years on them. Do we know how long a refinery was built to last?
Well, they constantly do a lot of upgrading. The problem has certainly been environmental issues and the fact that many people don't want a refinery in their own backyard, and that's been the case with many of these refineries. And one of the reasons why we haven't built new refineries in this country because of the environmental laws. Subsequently, we're more dependent upon import levels of products, less so for crude. So as a result, that spread between the products and crude have grown increasingly wider.
Can we talk just a bit about ethanol for a moment and how its role has changed over the last 5 years in the oil industry? It seems to me that ethanol plays a role as an input that is simply bought by the oil industry and used, and whatever price that happens to be matters not a lot as long as it can buy and continue to use it efficiently and effectively, despite what's happening in Washington, D.C.
Well, many times, I guess, ethanol is used as an oxygenator in terms of gasoline, and in terms of the environmental laws, it is a more effective help on the environmental side than what other forms of additives could be. And that's the primary reason that we use ethanol in terms of gasoline. The market, I think, is certainly giving it a role here, but it's certainly not a big piece of the pie in terms of gasoline.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
My pleasure.
Steve Platt is with Archer Financial Services. He joins us from their Chicago office. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
It's Moldy Cheese Day. It's also Grinder Hoagie and Hero Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1806, Benjamin Banneker died, an American inventor, mathematician, and compiler of almanacs. He was the first to record the arrival of the 17-year locust. The periodical cicada is usually solitary, but from time to time it migrates in vast swarms, which causes extreme damage to crops. In 1865, the first underground oil pipeline was laid between Oil Creek and Pit Hole, Pennsylvania. The 5.5-mile, 2-inch pipeline delivered 80 barrels of oil an hour to railway terminals in Pit Hole. In 1906, Joseph Farwell Glidden died, an American inventor. Glidden was an Illinois farmer when he developed his design of the first commercial barbed wire, a product that would transform the West. Glidden's barbed wire opened the prairie to large-scale farming and made him one of the wealthiest men in the U.S. And in 1996, the world's largest grilled cheese sandwich was made. It weighed in at 3,000 pounds and was a publicity stunt for Kraft Foods. The sandwich measured 11 feet by 11 feet and was equivalent to about 600 individual sandwiches. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Usually on a Tuesday afternoon, we talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. But, of course, he's busy with the Red Bull Stratus space jump today. It was supposed to go yesterday. Don made the call that the weather wasn't good enough. They tried to put the balloon up earlier today. As it got partially inflated, a little bit of wind, I think about an 8-mile-an-hour wind picked up, and they were able to get the balloon back down. But it's not the it's kind of a piece of equipment that really needs a very, very calm wind, so they called it off, and Don is busy doing that. So he won't be joining us today. If you want to see Don at his work there with Red Bull and Stratus, you can always visit our website because we posted a nice little YouTube video there at willag.org. That's willag.org. So up next, let's go to the combine seat where you've been, maybe. It's been a great place for farmers, of course, to determine their insect problems this fall, but confirmation will take a bit more work. I'll have a report on the Western corn rootworm and BT corn in just a moment.
Support for WILL Agricultural Reports comes from Country Financial. Information on federal crop insurance programs for next year is available now from your Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.
Seat, it's a satisfying perch. The corn rolls in row after row, stalk after stalk, and from the cab you can hear the groan of the machine as it strains under the weight of a good crop, or its sigh as it hits a failure in the field. That's when the farmer needs to look up, says University of Illinois Extension entomologist Mike Gray.
Well, as farmers roll through their fields during this harvest, they're going to see undoubtedly in some areas of fields lodged corn, maybe significant areas of lodged corn in some cases. That's usually an indicator that rootworms have been hard at work during that summer, feeding on root systems and, you know, compromising the integrity of that root system, setting the stage for plants to lodge more significantly.
There are other reasons for the corn to topple over, but this fall, farmers in northeastern Iowa and northern and western Illinois might pay a bit more attention. One of the BT technologies used to control the rootworm, the first YieldGuard BT, is failing.
So that tells us that the rootworm population up in some areas of northwestern Illinois, north central Illinois, is evolving. It's adapting to this protein. So producers need to be made aware of that and make some intelligent choices when it comes to rootworm management for 2013.
The obvious choice is to rotate crops. It could mean sowing wheat this fall into corn stubble or planting soybeans next spring. The other option is to change BT technologies. The problem there is the increased selection pressure, which very well could cause the alternate BT to fail too. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
For today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, Farmer View, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. Thanks for being with us. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org and check out that video with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He's busy this week and maybe right on through next week, depending on the weather, trying to get the Red Bull jump off the ground and into space. I'm Todd Gleason.